back here on the morning shift this hour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. We are live out on location from the Dream Speak Live Blank Center for Stuttering Celebrity Golf Tournament. And we were on hand for this event last year, which does a lot of incredible work in support of Arthur M. Blank Center for Stuttering Education and Research and its programs. Last year, they raised over $400,000 in support of the center. So it's just remarkable what they're doing for people who stutter, offering support, pathologists, you name it, at free of charge. So they're changing lives.
Yeah, it's going to be a good event.
Yeah, we got to play in it last year. It was really cool. They had the kids out here. They did last year at each hole, kind of. Talking about, you know, you get to talk to them and see how things have helped them. So it's great. It's just one of the many things that Arthur Blank and his and the organizations put, you know, give back to the community. So, anyways, Dylan, let's go ahead and go into and let's man up today. It was not a good week, Tiffany, for me.
Huh.
Real quick, I know that this is not what Dylan has as my worst, but I think it's a really, really bad beat when I picked the over-under at 40.5 on the Jets-Vikings game. It literally hits at 40, and Aaron Rodgers throws a terrible interception, which not only costs the Jets the game, but it costs me the game.
And anyone that listened to you. You should apologize.
Anyone actually took my advice. And if you did, well,
somebody,
that's your fault.
I had a stat on the Falcons pregame the other night about the under was 13-0 the last 13 times the Falcons were in primetime. And I had a guy tweet me back after that game that was so angry with me that I would give out that advice. And he was like, "You just never know gambling." I was like, "Buddy, trust me, I get that. Okay, I appreciate you. You let me know on the Twitters that gambling is gambling, but I think I already knew that gambling might actually be gambling for a reason."
I mean, you're taking a risk.
It always cracks me up. I'm like, I just literally threw that in as part of the stats for the game. That the under. I mean, that's pretty remarkable when you think about. Until the other night, the Falcons were 13-0 for the under in the last 13 primetime games, going back to 2017. So it is. It's always a risk when you do it. And.
But that's not on you. You gave a stat.
Oh,
just
I know.
Like,
trust me.
I heard someone in the city give a stat on Thursday saying, well, you know, because there was an over-under on Kirk Cousins' passing yards at 230 or something. And someone was like, oh, yeah, I don't think so. You know, I doubt that'll happen.
And who tweeted me back goes, how'd that go for you and your followers?
Yeah, and he threw – yeah. So, I mean
– well, I hope they don't listen to me. That's why we put our man up segment out there.
Yeah, you guys are
advertising that you're experts.
No, I've never said I'm an expert. I might have told you to go see your bookie and tell him I sent you once or twice when I gave a pick. But like I did, my worst beat was Tennessee at Arkansas. Here is what I said, and then afterwards I'm going to tell you how I handled watching the game.
I'm taking the bait.
No.
Tennessee's going on the road at Arkansas.
No.
I'm taking Tennessee to cover the 13.5. I'm telling you, their defense is better than I thought. Their offense is phenomenal. Nico
Iamaliava.
He's so good, I don't have to say his last name because you know who I'm talking about. He's going to go in there and roll.
Yeah.
They get it done.
Yes.
They get the bait.
Yeah.
Making you money.
It's a trap.
Well. That pretty much sums that up.
No bueno. Yeah. And you hear me in the background. No, no.
So here's what I did.
Arkansas.
Here's what I did. Watching the game with the neighbors, I realized that Tennessee is not going to cover. And I turned heel on them. I went straight Arkansas fan. And I hate Tennessee anyways. I've never been a Tennessee fan. I'm sorry, Tennessee fans. Never been a volunteer guy.
Oh, man.
It was hard enough picking you guys to win. And cover, but once you told me that you were useless to me, I kicked you to the curb and went straight Arkansas.
You'll be cheering for them in a couple weeks when they play Georgia and Bama, so don't get all
no, just one of those
it.
Teams.
All right, my
actually,
bad one.
I'll pull for both those teams.
My bad one, Dylan, was actually a 1.5-point spread as far as I have it. I had Buffalo, who was honestly – Buffalo has been one of my Super Bowl favorites since before the year. I love everything they've been able to do. I had Buffalo – beating Houston by the spread. Let's hear what I had to say Friday.
I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills minus one on the road. Everything in me kind of tells me to lean Houston. The fact that Buffalo is a good football team, but Houston will be at home in this one. I just feel like this is a little bit of a get-back game for Buffalo. Buffalo is one of my Super Bowl favorites when you look at this season, especially when you see how that division's kind of shaped up. I love what Houston has going on, but to me, Buffalo just one step ahead. That one-point line, very, very fishy, but it just means that Buffalo has to go out and win, and I think they will this weekend.
It's false. No way. Yeah. Not this time.
Buffalo.
Can I be nice for a minute?
59-yard field goal as time expires.
Yeah, but they were down 20-3.
To be nice for just a second.
Okay.
I'm not mad at Mike for that pick. I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at even how he sold it on Friday.
Yeah.
He sold it in a calm fashion. It wasn't in the way that Bo maybe likes to sell things, which makes you kind of fall harder when you're wrong.
Yeah.
So Mike kind of gently
said, "Dude, I know."
It's like a thud. It's a thud. That's
Josh Allen, 9 of 30 for 131. 9 of 30 for 131.
Some of the throws were errant, and you always have to ask yourself: were the throws bad? Were the routes bad? Were both? I have to believe that there was miscommunications between he and the receivers, along with just some errant throws. I will tell you, though, Tiff, we had to pick that game together, and I flim-flammed the entire time about picking the game as I was picking the game, and then finally went to Buffalo, which I wish I had picked. I wish I had just Riverside and picked the Texans.
Yeah, let me read off some of these targets and receptions. 5 targets on Keon Coleman, 1 reception. 6 targets at Dalton Kincaid, 2 receptions. 6 targets at Matt Collins, 2 receptions. That is going to lose you a football game, and that is going to make you not one of my Super Bowl favorites, which they are not anymore. So I learned my lesson. So it is what it is.
That's right. But I did get one right. I'm glad I did. I was 1-3. Dylan, tell me what I said about the A&M Mizzou game.
Missouri has not passed the eye test for me yet, and I've put money on them before this year. I'm not this week. Give me A&M and covering the 2.5.
Come on, man. That's too easy.
Yeah.
You gosh darn right it was easy. Never in doubt. Not once. I even turned it off at one point. It was just such a done deal. They absolutely.
Yeah. It was a drumming.
Boat race, Mizzou.
It was a drumming. I actually hit that one, too. I liked that pick. I remember backing you up going, nope, you're making the right pick on that one. You said that you were like, don't tell me that I'm making the wrong pick. I was like, no, you're not. That's a good one. And then, Dylan, let's finish up with my good one, and you just knew both of these offenses were not going to be good.
How about the Miami versus New England under 36.5?
I looked at this and I was scared away from it.
Golly, both of those offenses are bad. I know 36.5 is a low number, and it seems like a trap in a number of ways. You just know that Mike McDaniel is going to have somewhat of a better game plan this week. And I know that New England's got a scrappy defense, though. I'm going to say the under of the Miami-New England game, 36.5 this weekend.
This mother don't miss.
No, he's
good. That mother don't miss, man.
2-2 on the weekend, feeling good about it. I hit that one by 10-plus points, maybe 11 points. I don't even remember what it was, but it didn't seem like that one was ever in doubt, so I felt good about that lot.
So you lost this weekend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted you to.
I was bad this weekend.
Pull that mirror
out. In my defense, I was a half a point away from literally going the exact same thing as him. I had that Jets-Vikings game pretty figured out. If Aaron Rodgers would have got his head out of his butt and played, I don't know what. Do you think?
Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
I know you're going to disagree. I know you're going to disagree with me, I think, or both of you might. But I know how weird of a dude Aaron Rodgers is and how competitive of a human being he is. Do you think any part of him saw Kirk Cousins go off for 500 yards on Thursday night with less time to recover on his Achilles than Rodgers did, and a little part of him go, yeah, I need to go out there and just go off and show that I'm the best quarterback coming off an Achilles injury, and he just kind of...
I don't think so.
I would hope that he played better than that if that was a thought process.
I mean, because my point is he forced a few throws yesterday.
A couple picks in the first quarter, yeah.
Yeah, and one of those was just... Aaron, just don't throw it.
I'll give them credit for climbing back in the game. I thought that game was over earlier, and then they climbed back in it, and so hats off to them. But I'm not sure Minnesota's not the best team in the NFL. And I know I said that a minute ago about you know, I said that last week about Buffalo. The Ravens are going to be right there. There's a number of other good teams, but, man, Minnesota just seems like they are good
I'm
everywhere.
All for the Sam Darnold redemption mm-hmm. story.
Yeah. Well, how about the defense and how the defense is not they're playing opportunistic. Was it Van Ginkel has two yep. pick sixes, both against teams that play in Jersey, you know, the Giants and the Jets. I was looking at a stat, and they're like the yards they give up is seems massive. But the reality of the situation is passing yards anyways. But the reality of the situation is they've been playing with leads all year. I think they've only trailed like 5 minutes the entire season or something.
They asked Van Ginkel after the game about Aaron Rodgers, and he said that Aaron Rodgers told him, Christmas came early for you. Van Ginkel looked back at him and said, thank you.
Yeah, it was
– I think. Yeah. He should have said ho, ho, ho. That's what he should have said. Yeah. Right back. We've been telling you all morning on this entire show, we've been out here at the Dream Speak Live Blank Center for Stuttering Celebrity Golf Tournament. And so that means – we've got some guests joining us on the other side. We've got Christian Bezuidenho coming here to talk to us. He's a PGA golfer. You'd probably know that name. And we've got Brad Guzan as well a little bit later on in the show. Atlanta United keeper. Yes, you are correct. Stay with us here on the morning shift. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the morning shift. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. And as we discussed with you before, we are thrilled to be out here at the Dream Speak Live Blank Center for Stuttering Celebrity Golf Tournament. And again, last year, this incredible event raised over $400,000 in support of the Arthur M. Blank Center for Stuttering Education and Research. And we are so happy to have with us again this year, because you joined us last year, Christian Bezuidenho, back with us, PGA Tour golfer. You, of course, have made a name for yourself on the DP World Tour as well. And it's just great to see you this morning.
Dude, you had a great year, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Yeah. Thanks a lot for having me again, and thanks a lot for being here again. Yeah.
Dude, how was the Olympics? That had to be awesome to get to go down there and play.
Yeah, it was a great week. It always is. It was my second one. The first one I played was still COVID, so there wasn't a lot of fans out. It was a different vibe, but this year in France, it was incredible. It was like 40,000-50,000 people a day, loud. It was really cool.
Well, not only did you have a great year on the PGA Tour, top 30 in the FedEx Cup standings, but also, correct me if I'm wrong, last year you were with us. I want to say that you told us you were expecting fatherhood. Talk to us a little bit. We just announced today that this guy is now expecting his first man.
Oh, great.
Yeah. We're excited on the show.
Well.
How's the first year been with fatherhood?
Yeah. I mean, it's busy, but great. He's been on the road with us for 90% of the time. He's an easy traveler.
That's awesome.
I mean, I've actually expected to be much harder than what it is or what it was so far. But
good for you.
he's been fitting in great. He's an easy traveler, and the PGA Tour also provides us with daycare every week, so he goes to school, goes to creche 4 days a week.
No kidding.
On tour, so he loves it. We love it. So
you hear that, Bo? All you gotta awesome. Do is yeah, get PGA Tour.
Your baby needs some stamps on their passport. You've gotta catch
said,
up.
But see, here's what I'm worried about. He said he. So he had a boy. I'm having a girl, and we all know that girls are high maintenance. So I'm a little worried.
What? Okay, we're gonna press pause on that. We'll circle back to that.
It is true.
I want to keep my job, so I want to address it on air. But we'll talk about it during the break. Let's get back to Christian and why you are here at this amazing event that you've had an impact in for a few years now. Yeah. And so, how special is it to you to be able to impact and help those who are also dealing with stuttering?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously been a cause close to my heart for my whole life now, and it's just so nice to give back to and to share my story with kids and to people around the world. How I've dealt with it over the last 20, 25 years in my life, coming from a small town in South Africa with very limited resources and growing up, and just to be here with a blank center and to share my story and to help people, to educate people around the world about stuttering and what it is and what's it about, and how to deal with it. It's a special cause and something that's close to me and my family.
Yeah, you've been so inspirational to so many people. And for those of you who aren't familiar, could you share a little bit more about your story?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a small town in South Africa. Very limited resources, and I always thought that I had an accident when I was 2-3 years old. Accidentally drank rat poison in a supermarket where we were. There was a Coke bottle standing in the corner with rat poison in it, and I accidentally drank that, and because of that, I was in hospital, nearly died from that. And then fast forward 3-4 years later, my parents realized that the stuttering that I had, and it was so severe that I just backed away from everything, withdrew myself from every social environment, at my house, at school, at the golf course. I never did public speaking, never answered a cell phone, or never answered a telephone at home, never spoke to anybody, because I was ashamed of the stuttering that I had. And then we ended up going to numerous psychologists, doctors, all around South Africa, driving around, flying around, to try to get to the bottom of what caused it. And everybody there told me that the rat poison that I drank when I was 30 years old, yeah, affected my nervous system, and that's why I have the stutter. Mm-hmm. And they made me believe that. And yeah, I mean, we went to doctors, and everybody made me believe that it's curable and it will go away when you grow up and when you get over it. And yeah, and it never did. And when I joined Dr. Bird in the Blank Center, I just educated myself on stuttering, and they educated me, and we actually found out that stuttering is a generic thing, and it's not curable.
It's not, yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, I lived for 25 years, thought it was curable, that it's going to go away, and yeah, we found out four years ago through Dr. Bird and her research that's all the work she's done with the Blank Center, that it's not curable and it's a genetic thing. And yeah, so.
But your story is just incredible, for you to be able to be front-facing and then shed a light and also show that you can still do anything, right? So I think your story is just so amazing. It resonates with so many people.
Yeah, you're able to give back now, but you were impacted early in your life by someone, another golfer from South Africa, and Ernie Els. Yep. And I know the Big East has been a huge part of your career and your life. Now, how important has he been to you as you've progressed through your career?
Yeah, massively. Like I said, I was part of his foundation in South Africa from a young age, from 14 years old. He's helped me tremendously in my career of building a pathway for me to eventually play on the PGA Tour. He's helped me massively financially growing up to play tournaments all around the world. Yeah, he's been a huge influence in my life and in my family's life, and I would never have enough words to thank him for what he's done over the last 15 years for me. And even now, my wife and I came to America 5 years ago, and he said, just come stay with us for a couple of weeks and find your feet. And 2 years later, we moved out. So it was supposed to be a two-week visit to just see, find our feet, and yeah, it took us 2 years to move out.
So. I don't want to bring up any bad memories for anybody, but you know, somebody sitting in this room won closest to the pin at this tournament last year, yep, and somebody didn't. And the prize for that actually was an Ernie Els signed pin flag, which I proudly display at my house, man. So shout out to Ernie for that as well. And I know, like, the look on your face when I approached to get that flag last year, you were like, dude, you told me you sucked at golf. But I want to talk real quick, first of all, your thoughts on golf in the city of Atlanta, because obviously you spend some time here. I mean, East Lake, and this is the second year in a row we've seen you here. Thoughts around about the golf courses around here that you've played, because I think obviously there's a lot of passion with the people listening right now about golf in this area.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many great golf courses in America, but in Atlanta itself, I remember my first time here was to play in the U.S. Amateur. I think it was in 2014, 15 maybe. We played at Atlanta Athletic Club.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
That hosted the PGA Championship. I think it was 2009 or 10 or
it's
8.
It's been too long ago, yeah. I'd say then.
Right.
A long time ago, yeah, yeah. That was my first time here, and then obviously playing East Lake, playing Capital City, play Atlanta Country Club. There's so many special golf courses here, and yeah, it's great.
Good tracks.
It's awesome. It's great to have you again join us this morning, and just to see the work that you've been able to do. It's just incredible, Christian. We appreciate you coming on with us.
Awesome, man.
Thanks a lot for having me again.
Hit him straight today. I know I didn't need to tell you that.
Yeah.
That was Christian Bezuidenhout, PGA Tour golfer, who is out here helping to make an impact with our big event today with the Dream Speak Live Blank Center for Stuttering Celebrity Golf Tournament. Up next, we've got Atlanta United goalkeeper Brad Gazan. He will be sitting right next to us on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the morning shift. We are out on location. They let us leave the building at the Dream Speak Live Blank Center for Stuttering Celebrity Golf Tournament. And we are proud to have join us this morning Brad Gazan, goalkeeper for the Atlanta United here, coming off a big win over the Red Bulls over this weekend that has kept you guys alive in the playoff hunt. So happy to have you here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
What does it mean to you, first of all? We'll get to the soccer stuff, the MLS stuff, but to be able to be here to make an impact in an event that's changing the lives of people who are stuttering.
For sure. I mean, the growth of this organization has been tremendous over the years, and to see the work that they do for so many individuals around the communities, it's a tremendous honor to be a part of this event. You know, I was lucky enough to be here for year one, and to see the impact from year one to where it is now, and like I said, the growth of it's been unbelievable.
Now, Brad, I know, I think it's Brooks Lennon we talked to a lot, and he's a golfer.
Yeah,
he's a big golfer. Now, who between you and Brooks, who's the better golfer?
Listen, if we're gonna get straight into it,
we're going straight into it. That's what I want to do. I want to get in the weeds.
I'm gonna be honest here. Okay, we're gonna talk about the game, and he's probably a better golfer. Obviously, I look the part. Okay, I look
that's
better.
That's what's more important.
Absolutely, it's not about the scores. We're playing in a group. It's not about individual performance. It's about a group. But listen, with four kids, I definitely don't have the amount of free time that he's got. And so I think he takes the advantage probably on the course.
But you got the height and the length. And you guys that are taller and longer, tell you what, that you guys hit it further. It just seems like it's the easier game for y'all to play than us short people.
I'm glad you acknowledge that you're short.
Thank you.
I love the fact that you I mean, listen, there's nothing easy about the game of
golf. Oh, I know. Trust me. I shot a triple-digit score yesterday, so I'm well aware.
No judgment. But no judgment from this side.
I wasn't even going to get it. So and today we announced my friend Bo, he and his wife are expecting their first one. Now, okay. I think you guys have – what do you have, four?
We did four, yeah.
Oh,
four.
You guys are playing zone coverage, aren't you?
I've got two.
Yep.
I was trying to give him advice earlier in the show. If you have any, I'd love to hear it. My advice to him was –
the kid is moving in with you because it's the first one,
yeah.
right? The marriage is still
only,
very, very important.
Right. For sure. For
yeah.
sure.
So
absolutely. I would agree with that. I mean, listen, for number one, things are going to carry on. There'll be a little bit of a hiccup here and there, and that's okay. And you're going to think, oh, we got to get back to normal life. Well, normal life is no longer. So just prepare for that part of it.
Yes, dude. So true. I want to talk a little bit about Saturday night because I'm watching the second half. I'm a Bama guy, so I watched Bama lose, and I was like, done with college football for the day. I'm going to watch the United match tonight. The second half, obviously, them playing down a man. Just talk about the effort that you guys gave in the second half and on Tyler Wolf's run to close that. I know they had a couple of the offsides calls that help out down the stretch. I was out of breath watching the second half, but obviously you keep playoff hopes alive Saturday night.
For sure. That was the most important thing. And listen, when you look back at the game, obviously we'll look back at the tape and review the game. And there's certainly moments in that game, especially in the second half, where it's not easy for us. And we yep. didn't do a good enough job of seeing out the game and closing out the game. And so we need to get better, certainly, in those moments. But at the end of the day, at this point in the season where we are with now one game left, the result is all that mattered. And to be able to come away with 3 points and give ourselves a somewhat of a fighting chance going into the last game of the season, it's all we could have asked for.
Yeah.
See, the four kids is why you're a good goalkeeper.
Yeah,
you've got a lot.
Exactly.
You know?
That is so true.
You brought up the last game of the season against Orlando. I know that's always kind of a heated matchup, too. What's the conversation or the focus? What does that need to be as you guys have a little bit of a break before you go into that matchup on October 19th?
Everything's at stake, right, in terms of the performance, in terms of obviously the result that gives us a chance. We need to do our part in terms of winning the game, and then we need to see where the chips fall in terms of the help that we need from the outside. But most importantly, the performance from us in terms of giving our supporters, our fans, we know it's not been an easy year for them. And so giving them hopefully a nice victory over a team where, again, as you mentioned, it's it's a bit of a heated game. It tends to be. But, giving them a glimmer in terms of an insight of where this team can be.
Brad. Go ahead.
You go ahead.
But there's been a lot of changes in the organization, and as a United fan, there's only one constant since year one. I know you came in a few games in year one, but it's you. You're the only constant that has stayed 100% the same, and you're one of the leaders of the organization, especially when it comes to the team. How's that been for you with all the changes and some of the the difficult circumstances that have arisen from the on and off the field?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think first and foremost, it's an honor to be able to represent this club, represent this city, and my family and I, we've taken to Atlanta, and Atlanta is home. We love it here, and so when you see those difficult moments, when you see the change, the thing about professional sports is everybody can be replaced, and it's only a matter of time, and that's just the nature of the business, and that's okay. You have to be okay with it, but at the same time, you've got to be able to adapt. You've got to be able to change and continue to grow as an individual, but also as a group and as an organization, right? And so to be able to represent this club in this city, being there from day one, from year one, like I said, there's been more probably difficult days than good days. But as I was just saying to somebody inside, you want to see the club get back to those good days. You want to see the bends full. You want to see the support. You want to see the hype and the hysteria around the club. And I don't think those days are too far off. And so that part certainly brings a smile to my face and makes me excited.
I also want to congratulate you. Named the inaugural media ambassador. So presented by Gallagher. So
I think that's why I'm here with you guys.
Media savvy. So
congratulations.
What did it mean to win that award?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's you talk about professional sports and what comes with professional sports, and the media is a huge part of it, right? And good or bad, and obviously it's your guys' jobs to be able to talk about us as individuals, talk about us as a club, as a team. Again, good or bad, and it's our job to hopefully give you guys more good things to talk about. And without the media, the size of the club, the notoriety of the club, it wouldn't be there. And so to have the media coverage that we do have at Atlanta United, we're lucky because I know not every MLS team has that coverage. And I would argue even some other teams in other sports.
I want to talk about your role kind of as a leader on this team, because I met
messed up and asked Caleb Wiley about this, and he's like, dude, I'm 18. So the question was, like, and this was back after you guys signed Yorgos, but obviously some of there's been turnover. Alexi's come in, Saba's come in. Your role as a leader, just in welcoming those guys in, because not only are they moving teams, they're moving countries a lot of the time, but you're obviously familiar with Atlanta. You've been around. I asked Caleb, I was like, do you take Yorgos to, like, Waffle House? And he's like, dude, those guys, like, he's got a family. He's like, no, I'm 18 years old. But you're obviously a little bit longer in the tooth than Caleb. So what's your role in those kind of circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the club does a really good job of helping those guys get settled, their families get settled. Like you said, it's not about just coming to a new team. You're coming to a new country, right. A new culture, trying to figure things out. You know, obviously, when you talk about the United States around the world, there's a certain perception,
sure,
right, of Americans and whatnot. And so now these guys are coming here and they're trying to find their feet and figure it out. And so you try to help them as best you can, give them recommendations, whether it's schooling, whether it's daycare, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, restaurants or things sure. like this, right? Different areas.
Neighborhoods.
Where, yes, where they want to live. Where do you, you know, how long is it going to take to get to training, get to the stadium, those types of things. And then on top of it, you know, you want their extended family, their wives, their girlfriends, their kids. You want them to feel comfortable because you're only training for so many hours in the morning, right? And then you go home. But if you go home to a house where your wife or your girlfriend, sure. they're not settled, they're not happy, it's going to make training the next day that much more difficult. And so you want to try and help the entire party that has now become part of the Atlanta United family.
See, everyone comes to you for advice. He said you were long in the tooth. And look, I just want to tell you.
But more look, so look, than a guy look, like
no,
Caleb
no,
Wiley.
Because, look, I played in the Atlanta United media match. I won the MVP.
Okay, no
I lost
big deal.
Lost yeah, a toenail.
No big deal.
Lost
say it louder
toenail,
for the people
you know,
in the back.
But I turned 40 this week, and I know your birthday is just basically a month. Almost a month today. I turned 10-10. You were September 9th.
Yep.
So congratulations on that.
Brad,
happy birthday.
Brad, do not buy into this. Okay. I turned 40 last year, and she called me old every chance she got. So suddenly now she doesn't think it's so old.
Now 40's I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I only believe this side of the table.
You could come on anytime.
You know what?
I just have to let him know. You know, we're still competing at high level.
That's what we're doing.
For
that's
our
what
age.
We're doing.
So, Brad, we appreciate you coming on with us.
Get him straight, Jay, man.
Thanks, Brad.
I'm going to need to. I'm going to need that.
Brad Kazan, Atlanta United goalkeeper.
Real quick, this segment is brought to you by the W Sauce, America's Worcestershire Sauce, bigger, better, bolder. Also, New Realm Brewing Company, the official beer craft beer partner for Kennesaw State Athletics.
We're going to find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.